thank you for tuning in on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. This morning, we start in the midst of worship with our children's moment with Youth Minister Justin Livingston sitting with the children of the church.
We invite the children of the church to join Pastor Justin for this morning's children's moments.
All right, good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning? Awesome. Sounds good. Hey, you guys remember all those banks that we had up here on the stage last week? The ones that you brought in? Well, we took all those banks, we dumped them into a bag, and we took it to the bank, and we had the bank count all that change for us. And you guys collected $220 for Week of Compassion last week. So, great job. You guys did a fantastic job. So, I thought at the beginning of our children's moment today, we would play a game. You want to play a game? All right, sounds good. This game is called Two Truths and a Lie. So I'm going to tell you three things. Two of them are true, and one of them's not true. And you got to try to figure out which one's not true, okay? So these first three are all about me. So you got to figure out which one is not true about me, okay? All right, here we go. First one is, I have two younger sisters. The second one is, my grandpa took me fishing in Canada 3 times when I was in high school. And the third one is, math was my favorite subject in school. Which one? One, two, or three do you guys think is a lie? One? One? You don't know me very well, do you? You should know better.
Three?
Jack? What's that? Four? 24? I don't know about 24. What? 3? 2? We got numbers for each? 2? The correct answer is 3. Math is not my favorite subject. I don't know anybody. Is anybody's math their favorite subject? Oh, you're crazy. You're crazy. Okay, you guys want to do another one? Okay, this one's all about Pastor Dave, okay? Okay, this one's all about Dave. Okay. Before deciding to be a pastor, Pastor Dave wanted to be a history teacher. Number two, Pastor Dave has had 2 hole-in-ones on the golf course. And number three, Pastor Dave wears a size 11.5 shoe. Everyone's checking out his shoes. Okay, which one, 1, 2, or 3 do you think? 3? 1? 1? 1? 2? 3? 3? 2, 1. The correct answer is number 2. Pastor Dave has not had 2 hole-in-ones. He hasn't had any. I haven't had any. Will hasn't had any. None of us have had a hole-in-one. So good job, number 2. One more. Who do you think we got left? Will. That's right. Let's do Will, okay? One more time. Here's Will's. Number 1, Pastor Will was born in the state of Missouri. Number 2, Pastor Will's wife is also a pastor. Number 3, Pastor Will was a 2-time academic All-American football player in college. Why does everybody laugh at that one? Okay, we got some kids that are pretty sure about this one. 1?
3.
1? 2? Definitely 3. 4? 3? 2? 3? The correct answer is number 1. Will was not born in Missouri. He was born in Iowa. Pastor Day was born in Missouri. So great job. Thanks for playing the game with me. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what's true and what's not true, right? Sometimes it can be very hard. And that's kind of what is going on in our Bible story this morning. You see, Jesus had been crucified for a week. And all the disciples, they were locked up in this room. And they were locked up in this room because they were afraid that the same people that went and got Jesus and had him arrested and put him on the cross, those same people would find the disciples. So they wanted to be in this locked room, safe and sound, so that those people can't find him. And as they were in this room, Jesus, all of a sudden, he appears in the room with them. And the disciples, they couldn't believe their eyes. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. But Jesus showed him his hands, and he showed him his feet where the nails had been. And Jesus showed him his side where he had this big wound in his side. And when they saw that, they knew that they were looking at Jesus. Now, all the disciples except one was there in the room. Thomas was not in the room with the disciples. And after Jesus had left, Thomas shows up in the room, and all the disciples are so excited to tell Thomas about what they saw. They said, "Thomas, we saw Jesus. He is alive. He was here with us, talking with us." And Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe it. No way that is true. I saw Jesus. He was on the cross. He died. I saw him in his grave. Jesus, I just cannot believe it unless I see with my own two eyes his hands and his feet and the wound in his side. I will only believe when I see it myself." And so a week goes by, and all disciples, including Thomas, were in the room again, locked up. And guess who appears out of nowhere? Jesus. He appears again, and he tells Thomas, "Thomas, come over here." And Jesus shows Thomas his hands and his feet where those nails were. And he takes Thomas's hand and puts it on his side where he had his wound. And Thomas fell to the ground, and he says, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus goes, "Thomas, you believe I'm alive because you saw me with your own two eyes. But blessed are all those people that haven't seen me and still believe that I am alive." And when Jesus said that last part, he was talking about you, and he was talking about me and all of us in here, because none of us have ever seen Jesus with our own two eyes. But we still believe, just like the song we sang a few minutes ago, we still believe that Jesus is alive because we have faith and because Jesus lives right here in all of us, right here in our hearts, right? That's right, because Jesus is alive. You guys pray with me? Let's pray. Dear Father, help us to believe in our hearts the truths we find in your holy word, even though we have not seen them with our own eyes. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's kids shout it out.
Thank you for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church here in Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love. This week, our senior pastor, Dave Yonker, begins our new sermon series, Turn It Up, The Gospel According to iTunes, with scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, titled Roll Away Your Stone. Stay tuned after the message for music from local band Skunk Eyed Lizzy and to learn more about First Christian Church of Burlington.
This morning's scripture comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Here begins the reading. "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We had a fantastic season of Lent. We had a wonderful Easter Sunday last week, even though it was snowing, and it was April Fool's Day, even though despite all those things, we had a great Easter Sunday last week. And so here today, I'm super pumped because we are beginning a brand new sermon series called Turn It Up, The Gospel According to iTunes. You know how it is. We hear the Christian message of God's love in all kinds of places. We hear the message of God's love in old-time hymns that whenever you sing them, they take you back to an old, old time. They remind you of sitting in the church pews with your parents and grandparents, holding in your hand old, worn-out, creased, ripped, and torn hymnals where the pages have turned yellow and there's that kind of old book smell about them. And whenever you sit there, some of the folks know the hymns by heart, and they can shout out Amazing Grace and like In the Garden, and everybody can turn immediately because they know the hymns by heart. They hardly have to even find the page to have the words memorized because you sung them like 10,000 times. Sometimes we hear the message of God's love and the gospel there. Sometimes we hear it whenever the scriptures are being read. There's this old story of this old church bishop named Augustine. And he was living his life in ways that were kind of contrary to God. He was choosing the bad over the good far too often. When the story is told that he was walking down the street and like the church doors were wide open and someone was up in the front and they had the Bible open and they were reading the scripture, and Augustine kind of poked his head inside and he heard the Bible being read and he went home and he changed his life forever simply because he heard the scriptures. Sometimes we hear the gospel message and we feel the presence of God's love if we're driving down the road in our car. We're speeding down the highway at like 75, 85 miles an hour sometimes, and like our radio is tuned to K-Love, or like we're listening to a sermon podcast, and even though we are stuck in traffic there, even though we are in the car going way too fast, it's almost like we're sitting in worship. Because you hear the songs on the radio, you hear the message, and the presence of God fills your life, and you almost want to take off your shoes. Because in that car is holy ground. We know about that. But we also know that God doesn't just come to us in hymns and scriptures and like Christian radio to get the message of God through. Sometimes God moves through plain old ordinary secular music that you can hear on the radio any day of the time. Sometimes we hear the message of God in places that we do not expect. And so in our new sermon series, starting today, we're going to hear the message of the gospel, the message of God's love, in places that you would not necessarily go looking for it. In songs that are not explicitly Christian songs. But if you tune your ears just so, you can hear the Christian message. And so if you are here occupying those same seats in the pews like 5 years ago, we did a version of this sermon series then, and since it was so much fun and our band had so much fun, we decided to redo it with brand new songs for a new season. And so this is what we are about. We heard the scripture reading today, and the song that's going to be paired with it is by the British rock folk group called Mumford & Sons. The song that we hear in a little bit is called Roll Away Your Stone. Now, if you were here last Sunday and worshiped it, then maybe you saw 9 of our kids get baptized in the baptistry on Easter. It was a fantastic day. And so as the kids were like coming down into the water, Justin and I said, this is who they are. This is where they go to school. This is what grade they're in. This is their parents and their grandparents. And so after we had introduced them, each of the kids had picked out a scripture to be read. And we heard some great scriptures. We heard Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We heard the one that says, put your trust in the Lord. We even heard the one about how God loves us God cares for us and calls us His own. This was like a top 10 list, like David Letterman top 10 list of like all time classic scriptures. But I was thinking this week that whenever the students were selecting their favorite scriptures, for some reason, none of the students picked the genealogy of Jesus in like Luke chapter 3. I mean, of all the ones they picked, they didn't pick that. And what's up with that, right? I mean, this is some good stuff up here. Jesus, it says, Luke 3, 24, Jesus, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matthew, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Jamal, the son of Joseph, the son of Matthias, the son of Amos, the son of Naaman, the son of Elsi, the son of Nagai, the son of Math, the son of Matthias again, like he shows up again, the son of Simon, the son of Joseph, the son of Jodah, which sounds like Yoda, if you ask me, Jodah, the son there. For some reason, no one picked these scriptures to have read before their baptism. And I don't know why not. I mean, this is amazing scriptures, right? I mean, this is good stuff. It's not faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest is love. It's not we walk by faith, not by sight. It's a whole list of names that I had to practice to pronounce before I read them in my sermon today. It's a whole list of words that I'm willing to bet $5 that you can't pronounce them either. It's a whole list of names of people that we don't know of. A long list of anonymous people. Because to be honest, I mean, when you kind of read it, it's pretty boring. If like your New Year's resolution was to read the New Testament from Matthew to Revelation, straight through, cover to cover, you may have been doing just fine until you got to the names and the genealogy, because it's not inspiring. I mean, if you want to choose the good over the bad, I mean, if you want to be like St. Augustine and have your life changed, you're going to have to keep on looking. Because to be honest, I mean, aside from these people being related to Jesus, they're just nobodies. They're not the kind of people that we tell our children and grandchildren to aspire to be like. For we tell our kids they can be anything they want. They can shoot for the stars. They can do amazing and wonderful things in life. We tell them they can go and change the world. I've mentioned before that I'm on the board of trustees at Culver Stockton College, like a little small school just about an hour south of here. And since I'm on the board, I get to walk in the long procession line at graduation. And in fact, I get like a front row seat every single year. And so I get to wear my kind of black gown and like my academic hood. And I have this old cap I have to kind of dust off and kind of straighten out the bill as it's been tucked under some books all year long. And I get to process in with the faculty and the students and sit in the front row of chairs while all the names are being read. And it sounds a whole lot like Luke 3, 23, because I don't know these names and I hardly even know these students. But in all my years of sitting in the front row at graduation, I have yet to hear a speaker say, "Graduating class, I hope that you have the most boring, the most anonymous life you can ever even have. I hope your life is 100% milquetoast. I hope it is snooze fest. I hope no one ever even remembers who you are." If that happens in May, I'll come back and I'll be happy to eat my words and tell you that I was wrong, because that never happens. No one wants to be on a forgotten list of names. We want to be successful. But sometimes the journey from high school graduation to college to stardom is a tough road. Sometimes we have a hard time getting from A to B to C because there's stumbling blocks. There's things that get in the way in life. We have struggles and we have issues. We have things that come and trip us up. And there are mistakes that we make in life. There are sins that we commit that haunt us and this kind of live lurking below the surface. Sometimes it's like we're an open wound that keeps on getting knocked and that can never fully heal. There are times when we can never escape who we once were and what we have done. and we simply feel anonymous. But we heard the scripture. And the scripture that Will read from 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul is telling the story of the resurrection. He's saying that Jesus was once dead and buried, and they left him on a cross to die, and they sealed him away. But on the third day, on Easter, we celebrated last week, he rose again. And so Paul tells the story. He says, the risen Christ began appearing to all kinds of people. First to Peter, and then the disciples, and then Paul says to all kinds of people, 500 brothers and sisters at the same time, he says. Then Christ came to James and all the apostles, and then he says, he even appeared to me. And then Paul even says, he appeared to me even though I have issues and I have baggage. Because maybe you've forgotten that back in the day, Paul used to go by Saul. And back when he went by Saul, he used to persecute Christians. He used to lock them up in jail. He would help even some of them be put to death. And so Paul, even though he was called Saul back in the day, came from a long line of people who had issues and problems. And if you think you have it tough in life, you have no idea. A long line of people who had troubles. When God called Moses, he thought God was joking. When God called Jonah, he ran the other way and ended up in a belly of a fish. When God called Elijah to go and preach, he thought for sure he was going to get killed simply because of it. When Jesus called Peter, he denied him three times. On those days when we feel unworthy and unloved, welcome to the club. We're right there with Paul and Peter and Moses and Aaron and Martha and Mary Magdalene and Nahum and Elsa and everybody else in that list of genealogy that we can't pronounce and we've forgotten about. But what Paul is saying, that even though he has these issues in life, he's saying that by God's grace, Jesus Christ has been made real. By God's grace, moving in his life, he has found that God loves him with all of his faults and all of his issues and his problems. Jesus, in fact, calls him by name and invites him to follow. Even though the rest of the world may have forgotten, God's grace and peace and love is just for him. And God calls him good and worthy just as he is. It's like that line from our song. That little phrase that we're going to hear in just a moment. The little line, the second stanza says, it seems like all of my bridges have been burned, but you say that's exactly how this grace thing works. It's not that long walk home that will change this heart, but it's the welcome that I receive with every start. And that's it, you see. On all of those days when our bridges have been burned and we feel downright ordinary and like no one will remember us, for all we have done wrong in the past will simply be a gravestone that people walk by and they used to remember us. God's grace is there. God redeems us. And Christ loves us, and the Spirit calls us worthy, simply as we are. Because that stone that blocks our heart from God's love is rolled away, and grace is there to give us a fresh start. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks and praise for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that comes to us each day, that fills us, that loves us, and blesses us exactly as we are today. We pray, O loving God, that you will not keep us the same. Shape us and change us and make us by your Spirit into the kind of people that you would have us to be. That even on those days when every single one of our bridges have been burned, that you are there to reach out and bring us home. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Roll away your stone, I'll roll away mine.
Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town, in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a church home or looking to find a relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time, we hope that you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We have two services every week. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m. and features old-time favorite hymns and a wonderful anthem by our chancel choir. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 and features our amazing band and music that you hear from today's Christian radio. Both services offer a hope-filled and challenging message for today, activities for youth and children of all ages, and open communion for all who believe in Christ. There is no better way than to begin your week with worship, so I hope you will join us.
You can find out more information by going to our website at www.burlingtondoc.org, and you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BurlingtonDOC. We hope you have a great week and share the love of God with someone today.